Hello, everyone, and welcome to Celestial Weather. This is an astrological forecasting show where we talk about planetary weather. So what the planets are doing in the heavens and how our lives are influenced by their movements and how we have learned as humans to coexist with the stars. So my name is June Rose Trimbach, and I'm an astrologer in Olympia, Washington. And today is Tuesday, July 10th, 2018. And we're going to be talking about the astrology right now, this week, and what we can expect and how we can grow and align ourselves better with the stars. So yeah, I think the first thing I really want to talk about is Jupiter changed direction. So the big planet Jupiter stationed direct today at 13 degrees Scorpio. And this is really a two-week influence that we're really under. So 7 days ago plus 7 days ahead, we'll be feeling this. And this is like, you know, when a planet stations, it's like they command the attention of the sky for 2 weeks. And they have a lot to say. And it's really good for us to listen and to listen to the themes that come forward. It can bring shifts in our lives. Planet stationing can bring really powerful events and people into our lives. So Jupiter has been retrograde for 4 months. It went retrograde on March 9th. And, you know, we've been living with Jupiter and Scorpio since last November. It's been retrograde for 4 months. And now finally, we're coming into the last leg of Jupiter in Scorpio, right? We're just going to have really a few more months of this, right? Until in the fall when Jupiter moves into Sagittarius. So this is kind of a time to really evaluate what Jupiter in Scorpio has been for you in your life. So it's over the past year and over the past 4 months. So if you look at, if you know how to look up where Scorpio is in your chart, I really recommend you do that. Look at what house Scorpio rules in your chart and think about the themes of that house and think about where you are and where you've been regarding those themes. And has Jupiter brought blessings into that area of life, or has Jupiter maybe unearthed some things in that area of life? So I've talked a lot about Jupiter and Scorpio on the show, but I'll just say a little bit more to sort of sum up some of my thoughts and feelings about this placement. I do think it is about, you know, deeply expanding and moving into a greater relationship with these hidden parts of ourselves and hidden parts of other people. Scorpionic energy often lies sort of just beneath the surface. It can be sort of poised, ready to attack if need be, but ready to come with an antidote if need be. Scorpio is a lot about poison and antidotes. And it's a lot about poison that we create in ourselves by pushing things down, letting things fester or decompose within us. And so things that kind of build up in the body. Now, there can be a lot of strength in these processes. It can be, you know, Scorpio can be a highly ambitious or ruthless sign. And in this case, you know, it's like being really deeply in touch with the powers, you know, rested in the body, especially in those lower centers, right? So Jupiter and Scorpio, you know, Jupiter is what calls us to make greater connections in the world. It's a planet that calls us out of ourselves, calls us to find meaning and to find fellowship, to find a shared humanity with other people, to find shared beliefs with other people, and just to see the world as something bigger than just us. So it's an interesting combination of things, if you can imagine, to be called to find something really meaningful in those deep places where there is sometimes poison, sometimes medicine, these really deep places within ourselves. Of course, Scorpio is imagined as a scorpion, right? A poisonous animal with a hard shell that lives in the desert often. It can live in extreme high heat and extreme cold, right? We get the sense that it's a very resilient animal and that it can be dangerous. And there is a resiliency to Scorpio. There's a little bit of a danger. But ultimately, it's just power and what you do with it. And I think Scorpio as a sign, you know, can turn the pain, the suffering, and the poison into medicine. And so with Jupiter there, it's been like maybe making some of these experiences bigger. It can be like, you know, our internal experience of processing poison and medicine, you know, metaphorically, or it can also be about, you know, interacting with the poison and the medicine in the world around us, and how can we move into a greater relationship with these things. So it's not necessarily the easiest Jupiter placement, or it doesn't necessarily carry with it the natural gifts of abundance that we sometimes expect from Jupiter, right? And so we have to find it in these other ways, in these deeper ways. And so I recommend just thinking about if there are poisons, you know, metaphorical poisons in your body, in your mind, in your life, and you know, we all have things, right? We all have things that, it's a part of life, you know? So there's no judgment about whether or not you have them. And it's not a judgment like we need to just get rid of them either. You know, it's nothing like that. It's also that sometimes it is the gestation of poison in the body that creates the medicine itself. Sometimes. So, you know, we also have to live with our pain, and it's not a matter of just getting rid of it or blacking it out, right? That's one of the lessons, I think, here. One of the lessons of Scorpio is to not just block it all out, right? But to move into it and move into a greater relationship with it. And Jupiter is really, it's a bridge builder as a planet. It's really about the bridge that will take us to a new horizon or a new frontier, right? That will give us a sense of awe. And the awe that's in Scorpio can sometimes be a terrible awe. Like, you know, it's the awe sometimes of suffering and pain. But it's also the awe of, you know, deeply felt loyalty and conviction, especially to family, Often you see that with Scorpio. I think of the water signs as often, you know, being about these emotional bonds with people and those very close to us. And especially Cancer and Scorpio. And so I think there's also something about what we're willing to do to protect. And often Scorpio is about this. Because Scorpio is ruled by Mars, there's an intensity there. There's, you know, there's the redness there. There's some heat in the water. There's some blood. You know, it's like blood ties and ambition and ruthlessness and cunning. You know, there's a lot of intensity and power here, but it's, you know, it's like, how do we use that, you know? And, yeah, so, I mean, for people who have Scorpio placements, you might feel this more than people who don't, right? You might have felt Jupiter more. And I think, you know, Jupiter can bring some optimism and some growth, right, into these realms that can get a little tense. And so that can be really powerful. So think about the last 4 months since March 9th when Jupiter went retrograde. And if any of these things resonate with you, just, you know, take some time to reflect. So there's another theme to this. So Jupiter, as it stations direct right now, it's very close to a fixed star called Zubin al-Janubi, and I'm probably not saying that correctly, but it's a star in the constellation of Libra, so it's in the scales. And, you know, my main reference for understanding the fixed stars is Bernadette Brady's Book of Fixed Stars. So, thank you, Bernadette Brady. But in this book, she talks about the stars being a lot about social justice and social reform. And it's prominent in a lot of leaders of social movements. And it's actually prominent in the chart of the new president of Mexico, really interestingly enough. So I think there's something about Jupiter being on his planets that are close to this star that I think, you know, that's helping him step into this role right now. But so with Jupiter being close to this star, it does bring a theme of social justice, right? And how can we find laws that will help us govern ourselves, right, that are just. There's a theme of revolution and social movements and people coming together in order to reform society and reform the social order, right? And we've seen a lot of this already this summer, but I think we're going to be seeing a lot more because Jupiter is actually going to be getting closer and closer to the star, and it'll be the closest in mid-August. So we have a while, actually, with Jupiter being very close to this star. And it does make me think that alongside all the other transits for the summer, there's going to be a lot of social movement, social unrest and protests and people trying to change the social order and create a more just world. So I think that's all I need to say right now about Jupiter. I think it's really good to just listen, just to see if there's messages coming in over the course of this next week. You know, is there anything that's really pushing you forward? What are you being pushed into? And, you know, because Jupiter is so much about taking leaps, you know, moving forward, growth, right? And now with Jupiter beginning to move direct again, right? It's stationary right now, so it's not actually moving forward yet. It's still very much stationed, right? But it's going to begin to move forward very, very shortly, right? In the next few weeks, it'll start really starting to move forward again through the zodiac. And so this is like the point of stillness, right? Where we can receive a message from Jupiter, right? A message about faith, growth, what are we moving into? What are we expanding into? Messages about brotherhood, shared belief systems, right? So it's this point of stillness where we can receive the message, and then Jupiter is going to start moving forward in the next few weeks, and then we can start moving forward again, right? In these Jupiterian areas of life, right? These areas of life that correspond with all the things I mentioned already, but especially like higher education, philosophy, faith, religion, spirituality, but also, you know, coming together with other people, right, and having a shared belief system with groups of people. Jupiter is a moist planet, and it brings things together. It's about inspiring people to come together, and it's about cohesion. Right. And it's interesting to have Jupiter in Mars's sign, because Mars is so much about separating and cutting. And so there's an interesting sort of juxtaposition there. But I think let's move on, because there's actually a lot that we need to talk about. So this is Jupiter stationing direct today on July 10th. So Mars is going to be, well, Mars actually has just moved out of bounds. So we know that we're in Mars retrograde. We're still pretty much in the beginning of it. It's been, so far, from my perspective anyway, pretty tense. And things are going to get more tense. So things are just going to heat up, right? And then we'll have, you know, a lunar eclipse right at the end of, more towards the end of this month, exactly on Mars, right? And that will be a very tense time. But another thing that's happening with Mars, besides Mars being retrograde, Mars being on the south node, and there being a lunar eclipse on Mars, Mars is also out of bounds. It just moved out of bounds within the last few days. And it's going to be out of bounds until late September, very late September. So we're looking at July, August, and September with Mars out of bounds. And when a planet goes out of bounds, what that means is it goes either to a more northern or southern declination than the sun ever gets. So it's outside of the bounds of the sun. And the sun is like, you know, the king or queen of our solar system. It's kind of like the sun is a ruling power. And when a planet goes out of bounds, it goes like out of the reach of the ruling power. So it's like it starts acting more freely. It starts acting more less restricted. It starts being maybe more excessive, less predictable. And, you know, in this case, with it being Mars, you know, I really get the sense that there could be even more heightened aggression, more kind of that separating energy that Mars tends to bring, right? So Mars is like a sword or a knife. It's very hot, but it's very dry. And dryness breaks things apart, right? When something is too dry, it just crumbles, right? So we're talking about this kind of crumbling function. So without being out of bounds, it's like unexpected things breaking up. It's like unexpected acts of retaliation, acts of violence, right? Kind of collectively. These kinds of potentially excessive actions, right? But you also get the sense that, this is something that the planet is doing naturally, right? So there's always going to be moments in time where Mars goes out of bounds and, things maybe get more stirred up, or people can kind of break out of whatever limitations that they've been in and really express what they're angry about, express, their frustration and take action. So it's just another one of the many things happening with Mars this summer, and it's a really interesting time. I see people handling it in very different ways. So, I myself have been just feeling the need to really be internal and kind of go within and kind of take a step back from a lot of things and just evaluate sort of what I'm doing, evaluate what's going on, and I see many people taking this approach. And then I also see people sort of doing the opposite and really starting something new, going through a new challenge, crossing a threshold and pushing themselves like past their limits to put themselves out there and do something new, right? With this spirit of courageousness that Mars can bring. And so I don't want to say there's any like right or wrong way to handle this energy, and it very much depends on, what it's aspecting in your own natal chart, right? So how these transits affect us, of course, will vary from person to person. So with this Mars retrograde, I think it's really good to just tune into, the inner sense of fire, the inner place of heat, a place where maybe ambition comes from, where courage comes from, where excitement comes from. And tune into that place and just see what is still exciting to you. Is there energy for a new project, or maybe you're a bit tapped out, and maybe you need to kind of spend some time and just restoke those flames internally. And just tuning into the energy levels of yourself, like, are you high energy or do you feel drained? And just, listening, really listening to where those are at. And I think for me, it's like, it's helpful to do very simple bodily things, right? Because you don't want to push yourself too hard under a transit like this, because you could burn out kind of easily, or you could kind of put extra stress on your body, because there's a lot of stress sort of in the cosmic energy right now. So we want to be careful about overdoing it. But one thing that's been helpful for me is very simple ways of working out the body, because Mars is also about just working out, right? Just doing physical things, right? And so, like, things that are more like yoga or tai chi or something have been really helpful for me, where it's still, building up the energy in the body, but it's not too like depleting. So yeah, I mean, I think we are all in different places like this, and it's like some of us might be really called to join a fight right now, to join a resistance movement or something like that, with all of this social unrest energy, right? that's happening this summer. And I think it's great for people who feel called. It's like listening to the signs as they come to you in your body. You know, I always say, like, people don't need astrology to tell them what they need to do, right? You don't need to know what's going on in the sky if you're really in tune with yourself and you're really listening to a deeper voice inside of you that's guiding you, right? A more divine part of yourself, a knowing part of yourself, right? So that's all I would say is just, you know, listen to where the knowing is. And if the knowing is telling you to push yourself and put yourself out there, you know, then do that. And, you know, it's a deeper knowing, you know, you have to sit with yourself for a while, maybe before it will speak, or maybe it's right at you right now. Maybe it's like screaming at you right now. I don't know. Right. And if the deeper knowing is saying, hey, wait, hold off on this, be patient, you know, then do that. It's like, I think we really just don't want to mindlessly run into something, right? And we also don't want to mindlessly, like, give up, right? Because that's the other part of this is, like, it's a kind of an afflicted Mars, right? So it's like a weakened Mars with it being on the south node, no essential dignity. It's retrograde. It's like, you know, it's like the Mars function is kind of, it can be a little bit tired in us. We can feel like giving up or giving in. Sometimes it's the right thing to do, right? If the deeper voice is saying give in, sometimes that's just, you know, a nagging sense of laziness that we all have sometimes. And so I think it's really good to just try to see where your energy naturally wants to go. And really pay attention to that. It's like the Mars force is often this thing that comes out of us where we push ourselves into the world with it, where we're saying, okay, I want to do this. This is my ambition. This is my goal. I'm going to take on this challenge. I'm going to push myself out there. And I'm going to, you know, face my challenges head on, whether that's a person or a thing or a project. And I'm going to push through and get there. And this is like a testing or a trial period of that personal will, you know, of the desire and the will to do something, which doesn't mean that, you know, you have to achieve everything right now. It's not about that at all. It's a matter of listening to where your own personal will is right now. And if you feel like sort of despondent or sort of apathetic, It's a good time to take a look at where has your will gone? Is what you're doing no longer in line with your personal will, with your willpower? You know, have you been diverted off your track, off of that thing that you really truly desire to do? It's a really good time to just check in and listen about that. And with Mars out of bounds, it's a little bit of like a little bit of a wild card. Like, what's, you know, the energy kind of gets a little topsy-turvy almost or something, kind of excessive. And so, you know, working with all of this, it's kind of complicated, you know? It's really, like, Mars is really going through a lot right now. And we can see it in the world, like, collectively, it's like, you know, we'll see what happens, you know, with the rest of the summer, but it does feel like things are very tense and things are very unsettled. And this is a natural cycle, right? It's a thing that Mars naturally does, right? And so we do have an opportunity now to kind of change things or do things a little bit differently in the way we handle our own willpower and in the way we kind of face power in the world around us, right? Like, how do we stand up? How do we face power in the collective? How do we wield power in the collective? I mean, this is a theme. This is a theme as well. And I think it's all of our work now just to make sure that we're using our power in the right place. And if we're not, maybe changing that, right? But also always listening for the deeper voice, because the ego can easily kind of put ourselves off track, right? We start thinking, oh, well, I should be doing this, I should be doing that. I think I was talking about this on the show last week, but that's kind of like the conscious mind again, right? We're talking about finding like a deeper soul will. It's something that's like the energy naturally rushes through you to do this thing. It's naturally stoking your fire. And to find that again, and if it's lost, if it appears to be lost right now, dig deeper. Right, you have to believe that it's there. And maybe that's part of Jupiter stationing direct, like having the faith to know that it can be deeper down. You know, because they are in an aspect to each other right now. They're seeing each other, Jupiter and Mars. And Jupiter's in Mars's sign, right? And Mars is in an air sign, which Jupiter likes too. So there's a bit of a mutual reception going on. And so how can we really dig deeper and find the meat, find the blood, the lifeblood inside of us? Finding the lifeblood inside of us that really is strong and it's fresh and has the energy to course through our veins and give us energy. And that's kind of where I see us right now, what I see in the astrology right now. So, but yeah, be careful, you know, out there. Things are a little crazy. So, again, I think just don't push yourself into anything that doesn't feel right. Okay, so that's a little update about Mars. So now, the sort of other big event happening this week is a partial solar eclipse. So we are going to be entering into eclipse season now with this eclipse, and we're entering into the dragon, right? We're entering into the mystery, into a gateway portal time, right? So this partial eclipse, it's very, very much a partial eclipse. And one of the ways that we can define eclipse season, like what is eclipse season, like how long is eclipse season, right, is when the sun is within 15 degrees of the north or south node, because those are the eclipse marking points. Because when you have an eclipse within the 15 degrees, well, when you have a lunation, right, either a full moon or a new moon, within the 15-degree mark, it's technically an eclipse, right? So then you're looking at about, you know, a month-long experience. So this first eclipse happens right at that threshold, right? So the sun enters into that 15-degree orb with the north node, and immediately there's an eclipse, right? So we're actually going to have three eclipses this season because of that. We'll have this eclipse right at the beginning, then we'll have one, a total eclipse on Mars, right in the center, right in the heart of eclipse season, and then we'll have another one at the tail end. So we're still talking about, you know, about a month-long period, but it's just that there's three eclipses in that period. So this eclipse is actually in the sign of Cancer. And even though the north node is in Leo still. So this is the first eclipse on the Cancer-Capricorn axis. And we're going to begin having more of these next year, right? So we'll have more Cancer Capricorn eclipses at the next in the next eclipse season, right? Like 6 months from now. So this is like, you know, it's a little bit of a prelude maybe to some of the energy that's going to be coming in more next year. But we do have this now. So it's a partial solar eclipse. So the sun and moon are together. It's a new moon in Cancer, 20 degrees of Cancer. And it's actually exactly opposed Pluto at 20 degrees Capricorn. So this is a very, with it being a Cancer solar eclipse, there is a lot to do with emotions, right? We have the moon in the heart of the sun, and the moon's ruling the sun. The moon is like in her chariot. It's like this beautiful kind of imagery, right, of, you know, the power of the moon and the power of the body and the emotions and the inner realm and the inner mind and these inner senses of knowing and all of the themes about nourishment, motherhood, fatherhood, right? The way that we nurture other beings and nurture ourselves, right? These are all themes that have to do with Cancer. But there's a sort of added component that is very underworldly, which is Pluto. And we know that, you know, Pluto is Hades, who's the god of the underworld. And so there's a component that has to do with going into the deep depths, right? A little bit similar to the conversation about Jupiter stationing in Scorpio. And in fact, Jupiter's actually going to be trining the degree of the eclipse, and Jupiter's actually going to be receiving the sun and moon into his exaltation, right, while the moon's also in her home. So there is a lot of this Jupiterian influence coming in as well, which has to do with, you know, all that we talked about before, expansion, and now beginning to move forward, right, maybe beginning to get a little bit out of the muck. And I say that with affection, like Scorpio is mucky because it's like a swamp. Like a swamp is a deeply fertile place, a deeply mystical place, but it's very, I mean, you can imagine the energy there. You know, I like to think of Scorpio also as like a deep black lake. And I often use that metaphor on this show, like, you don't know what's in there. You don't know, you can't see the bottom, but it's very still. It's like still water. And you get that in a swamp too, like the still water that, it breeds lots of life. I mean, lots of insects, but a lot of different kinds of life. And there's a real entrenched feeling with it, right? And Scorpio can feel very entrenched at times, and it's powerful. It's not a negative assumption. It's just a descriptive term. But especially with Jupiter being retrograde in Scorpio, it's maybe more of that entrenched feeling, whereas moving forward now, with Jupiter moving direct, maybe there is more of a feeling of moving forward through the swamp. And so Jupiter is offering some insight into this eclipse, right? So keep all of those Jupiterian thoughts fresh in your mind. So Pluto is a very intense planet that tends to bring us down into our own personal underworlds or into the underworlds of other people. So it means we're going into the deep realm of hidden things, the subterranean landscape within all of us. We all have things that we keep hidden. We all have deep things inside of us that hold power, that hold meaning, that hold fear, that hold memories. And this eclipse is very much about that, about moving into the power of those deep places and moving into the life that exists within us, the life that exists hidden from the surface, and meeting it more fully, intensely, and authentically, and moving into a deeper, more passionate and awakened experience with our inner realm. So it's a powerful time to do dream work, to do meditation work, to get energy clearings or psychic work done. It's a powerful time to be in nature, to purge, even like a cleanse. It's a good time to do a cleanse, I think, and to release, let the healing waters of Cancer and the moon, you know, nourish those places within us that don't always get the attention that they need. Some of us are better than others at going inside of ourselves and listening to the parts within. And I think it's very important. I do. I think it's very important right now. So eclipses tend to bring up shadow, right? Because they're with the nodes, which are shadow planets. And obviously, during an eclipse, you know, the shadow eats the light. So we have to go into these devouring aspects of ourselves as well and face them. And facing a devouring aspect can be strange, can be otherworldly. It can be beautiful as well. It doesn't have to be scary. Sometimes we are swallowed up by bigger things than us that are good, that are wholly good. And sometimes it's a beautiful thing. Sometimes, you know, when we're in our own soul, you know, as a sovereign being, but we're filled with, you know, filled with the love of, you know, being consumed by the divine or by spirit or something, or just by love in general. Sometimes it's a beautiful thing. We kind of forget ourselves, you know, we can be eclipsed in the wake of something much bigger and see into a place much deeper. I've had, experiences like that with eclipses too. I've also had experiences that were just very, very shadowy, you know, and dealing with my own shadow, my own insecurities, and my own fear. And so again, it depends on what it's hitting in your chart, what houses it's in your chart. And so, like, for someone who's like Leo rising, for example, this eclipse is going to be in your 12th house. So it might be more about working with dreams, working with, you know, the subconscious, working with those really, really hidden places and going inside. Whereas someone who's Libra rising, for example, it's going to be in your 10th house. This might have more to do with your work in the world. So lots of variability there, and I don't have time to go into each of the signs right now. But yeah, so this eclipse, it doesn't have the same kind of disorienting energy that the next one is going to have, but it does pack some power, and it packs, there is a real depth to it, and, you know, there is another added component of Pluto being on its own south node right now. And, you know, Pluto hasn't been on its own south node since, like, over 200 years ago, right? We're talking a long cycle. So there's something about this right now that is tied into these collective events that have to do with sort of the collective underworld and the collective way of dealing with power and power structure in the world. And this might be a little bit of a preview into what's really going to take off next year with the Saturn-Pluto conjunction and the eclipses on the Saturn-Pluto conjunction. And that's, you know, we're really going to see a lot of restructuring of boundaries. Often the boundaries of countries are literally redrawn at those periods. New things enter the world that change the landscape of the world very dramatically. With the Saturn-Pluto conjunctions, they happen about every 40-some years. And I'll be talking about it in more detail, of course, in the future. But that's just a general kind of introduction to what that cycle is about. And there's so much more in that cycle that we'll definitely be exploring in the future on this show. So this eclipse, there's so much water going into it. New moon, sun and moon coming together in Cancer, Jupiter trining in Scorpio, Neptune trining in Pisces, and then Pluto bringing that underworld component. So it's going to probably bring up a lot of emotions and just a lot of really deep things. And, you know, what does it feel like to be really immersed in water? And yeah, and so I think for some of us, it'll be about connecting with other people in those emotional realms. You know, how do we deal with our partners, with our friends? Where are the emotional lines and the emotional connections that run between us and all of these kinds of things? And you know, is there a greater vision or a greater meaning, you know, that links us? Is there something bigger that connects us all, that makes us love one another? And what is that, and where can you find that? And I think for others, it will be very internal and might be about just spending time to really nurture yourself. And again, I want to say, be careful about indulging in like intoxicating substances right now, because whenever there's a lot of water in the sky, sometimes there can be like an impulse to do debaucherous things, you know, and really like indulge in the feeling of ecstasy and intoxication. And part of this is really Jupiter and Neptune's influence on this eclipse. And ecstasy can be a beautiful thing in terms of spiritual ecstasy or the ecstasy of being in love or this kind of thing. But it can also be a frantic thing. It can bring madness. It can bring deception. And we can fall into ourselves in a very difficult way where we're immersed in our own madness, right? Drunk on ourselves, drunk on our own delusions. And sometimes that can be okay and an okay experience to have, I guess. Sometimes it can be sort of troubling and a little bit sickening. So, you know, we want to enter into this eclipse with respect for the transits, respect for the energy and the power that is coming in with it. And just try to treat as much as we can, you know, with a reverence for the inner realm, with a reverence for what ecstasy is, in terms of it being able to bring us into a very deep relationship with ourself, our soul, with the spirit of the world. And I think a great intention to use this is to heal and to connect in a more deep and authentic way with ourselves and the people around us personally. So just watch out for, and if like you're feeling lost, it's like maybe just do something intentional to try to go into your imagination, do some art, do some journaling, some free writing, whatever it is that can help. So again, this is on July 12th, on Thursday, and the time is going to be 7:47 p.m. Pacific time. It's not going to be visible anywhere near me, and I think I'm not sure actually how much it's really going to be visible anywhere, because I think it's just a very, very partial eclipse, but you can always look that up in your local area. So the last thing I want to talk about today is Venus just moved into Virgo, and I think this is, it's kind of nice, especially for me being Virgo rising, of course, and I'm sure the Leo rising people were loving Venus in Leo, but Venus is moving into an Earth sign, right, which is more kind of like her natural domain. It just moves us into our bodies more, into the pleasure of the physical world and the material world. So Venus is also traditionally known to be in her fall in Virgo, because she has her exaltation in the opposite sign of Pisces. And part of this comes from the fact that it's Venus in Mercury's sign. And when Venus is in Mercury's sign, there can be an attention to beauty that's very perfectionistic, that can be almost slightly painful. There can be, a desire to find a perfect, innocent love that doesn't exist. But there's still, I think, a very deep thing about Venus and Virgo being about the service of nourishment to the world. Because, Virgo is always imagined as a maiden or the Earth Mother. Virgo carries that energy with it. And so Venus being there actually brings some inherent power, with the goddess kind of being with the Earth. And so there is something, I think, very important about paying attention to the plants, paying attention to what you eat, paying attention to what really nourishes you, nourishes your body. Virgo is a sign that tends to have a lot of issues with the digestion and issues with anxiety. So sometimes, some of those issues might be really helped by Venus being here, but it might be an interesting time to kind of try to clean yourself out, clean your digestion out. Virgo is a sign that is a lot about, the way that we process information and process, it's like the gut and the intestines, and, we have all those neurotransmitters in our guts, and there's a lot of analysis, I think, that happens in the stomach, right? Our stomach is like an analytical center of the body, and this is kind of one of the roles of Virgo, I think, especially for people who have Moon in Virgo, would recognize this. And so there's something about that kind of Virgo analysis factor that happens kind of in the guts and the intestines, where we're trying to figure out what to digest and what to toss away and kind of separate things out, and where should they be assimilated into the body. And Virgo processing is about this in life in general. It's like a metaphor, for the Virgo consciousness. It's a lot about what should we take in and what should we throw aside, what should we process. Virgo is so much, I'm saying we because I'm a Virgo rising, but Virgo is so much about, how can we make sense of the world around us and process things and cut things up into little pieces. And one of the issues with Venus being in Virgo is the dryness quality of Virgo, that Virgo is kind of a dry earth sign, it being at the very end of summer, things are usually dry. And Venus is, of course, you know, a sign that loves moisture and wetness, and so there can be like an over sort of breaking apart of Venus function, right? Where the things that we love and know kind of get broken up into little pieces. But I think Venus can bring that congealing quality back, right? She can bring some moisture back to the dry earth at the end of summer and really help with the harvest and help us integrate what we really need to integrate, right? And help us remember what nourishes us, right? And because Virgo, I think, is a sign, it can get really bogged down in everything, in its analysis of everything, especially in the modern world, because it's so much about the careful sensations in the body and how much can we pick up and be attuned to. And in this modern world, you know, it's just a little bit sensory overload. And so it can be a bit hard, but it's like, you know, very much about calming down the nervous system if we can, relaxing and figuring out what really nourishes us so that we can figure out what nourishes other people and do something to help nourish the world. And I think Venus in Virgo shows us how this can be done, shows us how we can find softness, you know, in a dry and cold world and find nourishment, even in a barren landscape. So some ideas there. So Sunday night, this coming Sunday, the moon is going to be conjoining Venus, and it's going to be very, very close. If you live near me in the Pacific time zone, the moon's going to be right on Venus, right at sunset. It's going to be a very, very close Venus-moon conjunction for us here on the West Coast and in this Pacific time zone. So I really recommend being in a good space. Hopefully it's not cloudy here, but to try to view this on Sunday, because I think it's going to be really beautiful. So yeah, so I definitely invite you to check that out. And one other thing is just that Venus has been with Regulus the past few days, and now she's still kind of there. So Venus actually does have a lot of power and like magnification ability right now. So it's something interesting to think about in terms of like glamour and how people use power. You know, Regulus is about the heart of the lion. It's all about power, but if we're using it, you know, for a good way, right? It's all about embodying our power and stepping up into power in the world without taking revenge or without abusing the power. So a lot of deep themes this week, and I'm pretty much out of time now, so I'll just quickly tune in to see if there's anything else. I actually feel really complete, so thank you so much for listening to this show today, and yeah, I hope you have a great week and a great eclipse. Again, my name is June Rose Trimbach, and my website is juneroseastrology.com, and this show also plays on Hollow Earth Radio and hollowearthradio.org or 104.9 FM. That's KHUH 104.9 FM Seattle on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. So, yeah, take care and good luck. Thanks. Bye.